Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of Unstoppable Success podcast. And I am Jacqueline Trominger, your host. And on this podcast, our goal is to help you, our listeners, have unstoppable success. We hear from amazing leaders and professionals from around the world about all of their amazing game-changing insights, lessons, teachings to help you be unstoppable. And today I have the absolute pleasure of introducing everyone to Anders. I'm going to say, and like Anders, I cannot say your first name or sit the right way because it's like my mouth does not want to do it. But Boulanger, I get the last name better because it's just more French.
Nailed the last name. No doubt. Yeah, no, that's good. Thanks for having me on, Jacqueline.
I'm so glad to have you here. I mean, we shared beforehand, you had an amazing, you've had a great career path. I mean, you said you started off being a magician, and then obviously things evolved. You changed
And
that.
I'm still a magician
Okay,
too.
still a
You
magician, right?
can't take that away from me, but yeah, it's been an evolution. In a way. And what's happened is I've kind of found almost like a higher and better use for my skill set, right? And so the and also to look at what I have learned as a performer, take a look at that, codify that, and then be able to share that to people, whether it's through trainings, through my book and in different ways, so that people can kind of leapfrog and get ahead that way.
Yep. So your book, Engage First, right? And you have the screenshot of that, or the pop it
Yeah, I'll
up,
pop it
right?
up here, and I got one here as well. Yeah, for sure.
You pop that up, and I was and I and the some of the things that just popped into my brain, and I think this is so important. Your businesses have evolved, but at the beginning, no matter what business it is, you do actually have to communicate and talk to people about what you are doing. So I'd love for you to share with our listeners and people who might be watching this on YouTube as well, where did it come from? I mean, where did Engage First come from, and how did it evolve? Like, how did it evolve into
Yeah,
that?
well, I mean, the concept actually, and it's funny because I wrote the book and the title didn't come at the beginning, right? The idea of it, but once I finally found the title, I'm like, of course, that's the title. Like it was, I feel like silly that I didn't think of it or sooner. So when I work in a trade show booth for companies like Microsoft, Fortinet, Veeam Software, a lot of big tech companies use our services, is that they're using us to stop a crowd of people and build a crowd so that the message about the solution can be communicated. And tech is like some of these industries where it's can be dreadfully dull. It's not super sexy as far as the content. And so we need something to be able to make people want to pay more attention, to be able to stop them and get them to just really tune in. And so when people would walk right by a booth, they don't stop. They could have the best solution in the world, but if people don't really look over there, they don't take notice, it really doesn't matter, right? So that's what I was used for, is doing that, and also for building crowds and setting up a speaker in a trade show booth so that the crowd is engaged, their appetite is wet, or put them in a peak state so that hopefully that message lands and they're able to remember it afterwards because of that engagement. So it really was like, hey, that's what we do all day long. And there's a few, I guess, hurdles in our way right now, or headwinds, will. One of them is people don't want to engage for the most part, as far as being engaged with. They're so overwhelmed by everything that's out there right now. How many junk emails did you get today? How many marketing messages did you see? How many ads? Like everything's coming at you. And so with that creates an obstacle, okay, for us
Right.
to,
It's like,
yeah,
oh,
don't
right.
engage with me. And now when we look at AI is a very powerful tool. I'm not anti-AI at all, but I do think we need a little bit of the old AI, and that is authentic interactions. And this idea that everything is so automated, so mail merged, so it's not really for you. this video by Sora is not real. Why am I watching it? Like, there's so much stuff that's not real, not authentic anymore, that it's becoming more and more important to be able to master those skills, come across in a way that people can truly connect with you, you know? And so that's, I think that's my kind of main message in the book and in what I'm about. And for your listeners wanting to create unstoppable success, you know, we can't just rely on AI and technology. We need to bring some, we need to rehumanize business. And that's really our goal here at Engageify.
Yeah. So I love that. So two things that, so I, somebody had coined this and I've used this, but the CEO method, it's not, doesn't stand for chief executive officer, but it stands for connect, engage, offer. Like, so you need to connect with people. You have to have a way to actually say something to them. So connect, right? And then engage with them, have conversations, discussions, talk to people. And then, of course, hopefully there's an offer if you're talking about business, you know, after that, right? So that's like something that I wanted to share with listeners is that think about the CEO method, because then you can also, you know, get Anders' book, and then you learn how to basically engage better so that you can do the, you can do the connect, but you have to engage. And then the other thing that, you know, comes to my, when I'm thinking about what you're saying, it's so important. We need to humanize it and make sure that we're reaching out and connecting with people, because people do actually want relationships. And it brings me back to that. Do you remember, like, years and years and years and years ago, there was the commercial, I think it was for, well, forget what airline it was, but it was for an airline. And the CEO or the president of the company or CEO was like standing around his sales team. And he just said, we just lost our biggest customer for a number of years, whatever. And he handed everybody airline tickets. And he said, go and, you know, go and see your customers, go and shake their hands. We're so into the facts and the, you know, but we used to do business face to face. So go see your customers, go see your clients. And then they asked him, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to go see that customer who we just lost, who was our first one we've had forever. And what you're saying and what you're doing, it like, obviously it resonates with me so much, because we, there's like a push pull, right? Between where we are, where people are right now, where they've got so much coming at them and they kind of want to put up the blockers, but at the same time, they also crave connection.
Yeah. And that's something we actually call the engagement gap. Meaning there's the people who don't want to be engaged with, they're overwhelmed, they're overbooked, meaning they've got no time, but then they are overlooked. This idea that they do want to be engaged with in a sense, right? Like, they're overwhelmed, but if there's an authentic connection, if there's someone who could really help them, they would be open to it, right? And then on the flip side, you look at the people who need to be doing the engaging. Lots of times it's salespeople, it's marketing, it's on that, you know, customer facing side of things. Well, they're sometimes untrained on how to do this. And this leads into, generationally, people are growing up on their phones. We're not having the same FaceTime that we used to. We don't have to talk to a bank teller or a cashier at a grocery store, right? There's fewer moments where we actually have to do that. And in some ways too, they're just not motivated to do it because they don't have to, maybe, or they, like, there's salespeople that we know in the tech industry, in terms of teams, they only send emails, you know, never get on the phone to talk to someone. So that when we see them in the trade shows, actually having to talk to a live customer in front of them, they're not real that, they're not smooth, you know, it's not binge worthy, it's cringe worthy, right? So that's where there is some work to be done, right? And we're really kind of, you know, kind of waving the flag or trying to say there is a canary in the coal mine, that we want to, you know, look at this and try to combat this, because there is, when I talk to sales leaders, a sales apocalypse kind of happening, where what happens when those young salespeople, they grow up to become account executives, you know, in terms of their experience, and they still haven't developed these skill sets, what's gonna happen, right, to the sales force? And who knows, maybe AI will start selling, but I wanna buy from people. The trust isn't there for me, right? You know, we need to connect with people, and that's I think that's where trust really comes from.
You know, and I would agree with you. I don't want to engage with a computer or a bot or a chat bot. And it's, I find it fascinating. And I understand where their companies look at it as a cost savings to have a chat bot or to have somebody answer the phone and say, oh, well, I can help you. I'm your virtual assistant. It makes me want to not do business with that company.
It's the difference between efficiency and effectiveness.
Yeah.
Right. And so that idea that you just make it up with numbers because you don't have to pay this AI bot. Like, but when I ever, if I get cold called by an AI agent, right? Like sometimes they used to say they're AI, but sometimes they don't now. And I have to say, hey, are you AI? And then they say, yes, I am. But then I just hang up and I don't even feel bad about hanging up. Right. Because there's not a human on the other end, right? So right. I really don't give it the time of day at all, right? In that sense. There's something I write about in my book called the hierarchy of communication. So think of for the listeners only, think of like a pyramid, right? And we kind of build from the base up. And I talk about different forms of communication. And this really is apropos to what we're talking about, is that, you know, if you just look at written communication, right? And that could be a handwritten letter, but it could be actually just an email or something like that.
Right.
It only has words, right? So we can only use the words that we choose to persuade, to influence, to get our point across, right?
Right.
We go up a step above that, we could use some emojis, because emojis can give a little bit of a sense of tone. Like, have you ever had a joke that you're trying to make written backfire, you know, and people take it the wrong way? Like it lends a little bit, okay? Not much, but a little bit, okay? You go above that, then you got your voice. For the people listening to me right now, all they can hear the words I'm using and how I'm saying it, which helps.
Right.
If you're watching right now, well, that's the next level of this kind of virtual idea. You're getting to see me express myself. You're seeing my eyes go up as I try to think of the word. And I'm using my hands, you know, for the body language. And that's pretty good. That's, you know, as good as we can get, except there's face-to-face, right? And that's at the very top. Now, you're talking about the, say, get on a plane, go visit your customers. That's face-to-face, right? That's very effective. Maybe, is it efficient? We don't all have time to go see and fly everywhere, you know, in terms of money and everything like that. So what I urge people to do is go as high as you can in the context of whatever's being done,
right?
If it's a quick little thing, maybe a text message is fine, right? The more important it is, the more you want to elevate it through that hierarchy, through that pyramid.
Yeah. I mean, and I love like this, even though we're not in person, but, you know, one of the things that I love about all of the tools for video conferencing, you know, whether you're using Zoom or Teams or name the platform, whatever, you get to see the person and you can see their facial expressions. And that is so important. It is,
yeah,
it's, and,
for sure.
You know, it's not the same, but it's close to being.
Yeah. Like we're not breathing the same air. We're not in the room. Like, you know, there's one thing that I often joke about when we did a lot of virtual engagement training, especially during the pandemic, because that was when we realized this isn't quite the same, right? Like people can be multitasking, you know, they could be shopping on Amazon, watching YouTube while they're in a meeting. You know, maybe they're not the one talking, but they could be one of the many listening, right? And they could be doing all these things. There was a time for the people only listening, I have these orange lights in behind me that have to do with our brand and everything. And one time it was during the pandemic where there weren't any events for us to do. So we were doing a lot more virtual work. And I was having a call with a big tech company. And they said to me afterwards, after they hired us, they said, I have to admit that I was actually multitasking on three screens when you were presenting to our team of event planners, and I really wasn't paying attention. And then she said, you leaned in and talked to the camera and you kind of divulged something, and I found myself leaning in. And she goes, and the lights and everything, you just, you, you, you packaged it in a way that made me want to pay attention. And we knew that you were the right person for the job in that case. So it's just like, you know, right. These little things, right, that we do. And sometimes you, it's nice that that was shared with me. You know, it's that pat on the back. And that's a big part about engagement too, is, you know, we need that feedback to know that how we are being is working for what we need in the moment.
Right. Right?
And in virtual, sometimes we don't get that. We don't get the feedback, right? Because we can't see all the faces possibly at once, right? And just be able to kind of know, how am I doing here, right?
Right. But it's so true. Like, you can see whether and find out how well or how much a person is engaged, you know, virtually, even what you just said, like how much, you know, are they looking at the screen? You know, are they, where is their eye looking? Or, you know, forward, backward, you know, it's like.
Sometimes they have the screen of you not near the camera though. So that they're doing this thing where they're like, you know, you don't know if they're actually reading an email or they're looking at you, right? So here's a little hack that I have, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have very good camera eye contact. Yeah. And that's because I actually have a teleprompter that puts my Zoom screen up onto it. So I am, Jacqueline, I am just staring you right in the face. And that's also where my camera is.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So it's like, and so these are these, like, we're talking on about the virtual platform right now, but this is like, how do we give, you know, make that feeling of connection happen virtually?
Right.
Right. Like, the eye contact is one of those things that's easy to do in person, harder to do virtually. And that's partly why it's not quite the same. Right. That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, no, that's so true. It's so true. I love this conversation. My kids make fun of me because I am one of those people that will walk into the grocery store and I will talk to anybody and everybody. I don't care. And as you're talking about lessons and teaching and, you know, what that has done though, is that my kids are not afraid to use this for the right way, not to text. Like, my kids will pick up the phone and actually use the phone for what a phone was initially made for, which is actually to talk to somebody else, you know, shoestrings, right? Or walk up to somebody or have a conversation with them. And as the title says, engage, you know, so modeling that and being able to share that, you know, and they used to always make fun of me. We'd walk out of the grocery store and they're like, did you have to talk to the lady at the deli counter? And I'm like, yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, because you never know if you can maybe help somebody make their day, put a smile on them. You just don't know. And, or you don't know if that person standing next to you is going to be the next person that's going to buy your biggest whatever, or who knows? You just have to make that, you have to engage with people.
It's funny you talk about the grocery store, because in the book, I actually talk about one of the kind of challenges is to, you know, go make a cashier laugh or smile, right? Like, just like, it's a little game within the game. You're just buying groceries, but you're like, hey, and it's one of these like low stakes kind of like challenges that, you know, what can we do to just kind of, you know, I think, one of the other things I talk about in the book is I come from a very small town, like 500 people. And so, you know,
I don't know everybody, it'd be nice.
my dad was a teacher. Everyone knew my dad. You know, you grow up, everyone knows who you are. I was the only magician from Wauwanisa, Manitoba. And so, you know, I went to university in a town of, at the time, there was about 50,000. It was a city, 50,000 people. But I lived in residence. So I knew everybody in these buildings and everything, right? Like, so it was just very friendly, very, you know. And then I moved to Winnipeg, which, you know, is 600,000 people at the time. It's bigger now, but it's just, now it's getting to be a bigger city, right? And I lived in an apartment building, and I went from, you know, university residence to an apartment building. And here I am trying to make friends with all these people in this city. And they're just like, you're weird, dude, right? Like, the city rubbed off on me until the point where I kind of stopped trying too, right? And it was kind of like, and I was like, oh, what happened there, right? And so we kind of, I think sometimes it's, we don't want to, you know, get wrapped up into things and be overly friendly to people, right? You know, just to, for safety's sake and that sort of thing.
Right.
But we have to be careful of what we surround ourselves with and how we train ourselves to not do that, right? Like there are times that this is a very useful skill, right?
Right.
And, yeah. And in business, especially, you know, in sales and customer facing interactions, critical.
Yeah. You know, I love this whole conversation for also, I'm just thinking about, in Reno, there where I am, I'm from the East Coast originally, but in Reno, where we are now, the chamber puts on an event, a business expo for all the local businesses. And it's a great, great event. But I'm always amazed by the people when you are walking up and down their, you know, table, you know, they're not really actual booths, are doing this.
Yeah.
Right. And,
yeah.
And you're like, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm thinking to myself, get off your tushy.
You paid money to have this stand, this booth, and you're sitting there, head down, shut down, looking at your phone, while what potentially would be, you know, whale of a prospect of a client possibly walked right on by, and you never even gave them a chance to, you know, stop. And I mean, that is, you know, at trade shows, we do trade show trainings to inspire people to connect and to play that game within the game, you know, like, hey, how many people can I stop here? Like what, you know, what's working, what's not, you know, sometimes you find different things. One of them I thought was really funny was there was a woman named Chelsea who worked for this company called Shop Monkey, and she was walking the aisles and she had this, you know, the sock monkeys that are made from the, so it was a giant sock monkey. So it was probably, you know, with its legs, not that it could stand on its own, but because it's so plush and soft or whatever, but it was probably 4 feet high, you know, and she had it up on her shoulders, like she was giving it, not a piggyback, but, you know, like up on your shoulders. And people would see her and she would take the arm of the shop monkey and go, fist bump. And it's just like such a stupid thing to like fist bump the sock monkey. And then, but that was the first point of contact, was she's just smiling out there in the aisle. People walk by, giving her a little bit of like, what's going on here? She goes, fist bump. And then they go, what's up with the sock monkey? It's like, oh, we give you one of these if you sign, you know, sign to be a client. And they're like, well, what do you guys do? Like that, all you want people to do is stop and say, what do you do? Right?
Right.
So that was just one of those great examples of finding something that works. And you know, and putting in that extra effort. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes people are not the owners, or they're just sent there to go man the booth, right? Work the booth. And they're just putting in their time, right? So, you know, for the people who are really motivated to get value, you know, pays to engage. We say the gains are in the engagement, you know? So that's,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so how can our guests and listeners, because I could talk to you all day about this, how can our listeners connect with you and engage with you and learn more about what you're doing and take advantage of what you're doing?
For sure. So LinkedIn's probably best social for me, and it's Anders, A-N-D-E-R-S, and Boulanger, B-O-U-L-A-N-G-E-R. There's a lot of spelling. It looks like Boulanger. And then if you go to our website for the book is engage-first.com. Okay. And on that page, you're able to get a PDF download of 4 ways to engage. So how to be more engaging. And then also if you buy the book, you can also go back to that page and there's actually a free, actually normally $179. We're putting it up there for free for a limited time. A presentation training. So it's an on-demand presentation training if you get the book. So it's like a real deal. So that's kind of best ways to reach out and best ways to dig in and learn to engage first.
Okay, so listeners, do me a favor. Connect with Anders and on LinkedIn. Do me a favor. I will put a link to the book also in the show notes so you can actually go and get it. So you'll have it. It'll be a link right there, and but get the book. And then do me the other favor and please share this episode with your friends and your colleagues and other people that you know that are in a professional space or not, but people that you know, because this is so important. We need to engage so that we can actually be ultra unstoppable successful. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, your host. Thank you so much, and thank you for being an amazing guest.
Thanks for having me.